Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. This is the Sheriff Mac Show on Friday on TV, syndicated across the great globe via the internet. And simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live, a nationally syndicated radio talk show on AM and FM affiliates across the country. I'm Sam Bushman, operations manager for the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. You want to learn more, CSPOA.org is how you get that done. And before we introduce my favorito guest, Sheriff Mac, from his win over Bill Clinton, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in the United States of America. Sheriff?
Hey, good morning, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning. I guess via Las Vegas, baby, because I'm in Las Vegas right now because we had a meeting last night in Pahrump, Nevada with Constitutional Sheriff Sharon Worley. So, yes, my quote.
And good
is
for
the
her.
When
we
I
pray she
life.
Wins, by the way. Before you go on with your quote, I was on with the Liberty Monks last night while you were in your meeting, too. So we're sharing the word everywhere we go about election integrity, about accountability, and most importantly, about the CSPOA and the incredible work we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff?
Yes, the same quote I gave last night from the decision. As you know, I've said this one before. It's my favorite. I guess I could say it's my favorito, but and people will get that joke in just a little bit. But my favorite quote from the decision, this miraculous Supreme Court decision, way back from June 27, 1997, is this: "But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. It divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government, precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day." End quote.
Oh, yeah.
That sure slaps all the COVID-19 mandates. We're doing this for your own good. We should have resisted that temptation, according to the Supreme Court decision.
Amen to that reality check. And I want to say this, the crisis of the day. Those words are critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen. The education that we provide via the CSPOA, the incredible training of sheriffs and people all across this country, all kinds of county and local officials about their proper role of office, about due process, about all these things. Look, all you got to do is plug the latest crisis of the day into our training and you go, I get it. I know what to do. I know how we should respond. I know what we the people should do. I know what our elected officials have sworn an oath to do. And pretty soon, all you got to do is plug the latest crisis of the day in and go, our response is already ready to go, Sheriff.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really thrilled with the movement. People are waking up. Is it enough? Well, that's not our job. Six words on that answer. Duty is ours. Results are God's. Let's just do our duty and leave the rest to Him.
Amen to that. Our guest, Sheriff?
Wow. Yes. From the great state of Georgia, we have Garland Favorito. And Garland, welcome to the Sheriff Mac Show. Thank you so much for being here. Garland, are you there? He looks like he's frozen.
All right. While you work on getting Garland back, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you a little bit about Garland Favorito. He's a retired IT professional, and I want to talk to him because us IT guys like to hang out and discuss election integrity problems. We'll talk about ConEx. We'll talk about the arrest that took place since we met last, I think. He's an election integrity expert in addition to being an IT professional. He's in Georgia. He's also the co-founder of an incredible organization called Voter GA. That's just like it sounds, V-O-T-E-R. GA like Georgia, VoterGA.org, where you can learn more about the incredible work that Garland is involved in, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen, the questions are this on their website. Why does Georgia need a 2020 election audit. We cannot conduct a legitimate 2022 election without acknowledging and getting to the bottom of the problems with the 2020 election. I think that's a spot on point. And I know a lot of people are like, no, just get past it and move on. No, you can't, ladies and gentlemen, because you got to understand that ERIC, E-R-I-C, the system is tampering with our voter rolls and taking the information out of government to a non-governmental organization in an effort to make sure that you and I cannot audit, that you and I cannot have transparency regarding this. And ERIC is at the core of that discussion. We're learning as we go. We are creating accountability. But what is wrong with Georgia elections, people are asking?
Was it not ERIC that just aided and abetted in the criminal activity in Colorado where the Secretary of State sent out 30,000 votes or ballots to non-resident aliens, people who are not qualified to vote?
That's exactly the point. And when we date qualified, when we debate qualified to vote, see, these leaders of the deep state believe that illegals should vote, Sheriff. They're even suing Arizona over that very point. We say, hey, illegals cannot vote. They're illegally here and it would be an illegal vote. And then Joe Biden comes by and sues and says, not so. They can vote all they want to. Well, how do you debate election fraud when you can't even debate on who's allowed to vote, Sheriff?
Yeah, because that's more election fraud. And Biden is admitting he is guilty and he is perpetrating. He is a perpetrator of election fraud in this country. People who are not citizens of the United States or of their state are not qualified to vote.
Well, and that is the quintessential point. So we've got to get rid of ERIC. We've also got to realize, hey, what is wrong with Georgia elections? What is wrong with Dominion voting systems? And that's where an IT guy, Garland, coming to the table is going to be critical. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know, but Georgia's new Dominion voting system has been found by the U.S. District Court to violate state law. Well, that's what's wrong with it. Other than violating state law, Sheriff, it's not really a problem.
No, no, they're just breaking the law over and over, and there's still arrests happening because of the election fraud of 2020 and probably some from 2022 primaries. And this
Sheriff,
does
imagine
one thing.
They say we make these claims without evidence, huh?
Oh, yeah, right.
We've got arrests and breaking the law, the courts document it, and then they say there's no evidence. Are these people on the
same? Okay, I think we have Garland. Are you ready to roll here?
I am ready to roll, Sheriff Mack. I want to thank you and Sam for having me on, and I'm excited to tell you anything you want to know about the Dominion voting system and other voting systems, and I want to thank y'all for all your attention on this issue. It's so critical to the people of America.
Okay,
right,
I got a question for you. What happened in Georgia?
ERIC? Hold on. What's more important to discuss, ERIC or the election machines or the 2022 election coming up in literally 4 weeks from today, sir?
Well, they're all incredibly important. We could probably step through each one, Sam. It's your choice. You can direct whichever way you want to go.
Sheriff?
Okay, yeah, what about ERIC?
Okay, so ERIC is, this is interesting that you brought this up because we currently have a lawsuit that is against the Secretary of State for outsourcing voter registration data. In Georgia, he's done this several times. Once with ERIC, which gave away our voter registration data to a third party. He's also done this with a new Salesforce contract. And we have filed a lawsuit against him. And there's three violations of Georgia law here, Sheriff, for you and Sam. So the first one is that it violates election privacy laws because some of the voter registration data is private and they don't have the right to give that up to any third party. The second problem is that when he did this, in this case, the Salesforce contract, it was a no-bid deal. And in Georgia, you're required to get a bid on anything over $100,000. This was a $3.5 million contract. And then in regards to ERIC and Salesforce, the legislative General Assembly has never given the Secretary of State the authority to outsource any voter registration data whatsoever. all data has to be housed in-house according to Georgia law. So there's multiple violations for both Eric and Salesforce here, and we hope to pursue that. Our case is in discovery right now. In fact, I'm supposed to be working on that discovery today in lieu of a hearing that we're having on Thursday, which is on a different matter.
And Garland, let me kind of dig into this a little bit just so people understand. The problem with transmitting that data to a third party and giving them custody and control of the voter rolls via this, in my opinion, criminal system called ERIC. The problem with that is, one, they don't have any authority to transfer that data and put somebody else in charge of the data. That is breaking all kinds of laws. But it gets worse because now we, the people, normally have what are on the local level oftentimes called grandma requests, or on the general level it's called FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests. You're not even able to use Freedom of Information Act against these people because they're not government, so they don't have to obey the same rules, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the only thing we can do is, we in Georgia, we call open records requests, which is the state version of Freedom of Information Act. The only thing we can do is to file it against the state for their communications to Eric and David Becker and all that. We can't go against them. You're exactly right. So whatever they do with the data, we are not necessarily going to be privy to.
Yeah.
Other than that's not so bad, Sheriff.
Well, Garland,
this is
we're
nuts,
really,
people. And then they go, there's nothing to this, guys. You're crazy. You're on cloud nine. You're conspiracy theorists. But there's evidence everywhere you look, Sheriff.
Well, it is. And it's even if it's everywhere. And all you have to do is make a simple effort to find it. So, Garland, with all of the evidence out there, where do we go from here? And wait, I want to go back to your lawsuit. Are you experiencing some success? Because most courts have not been too friendly to this issue. How is it going in your court case?
Interesting point, Sheriff Max. So we have 5 active lawsuits in the state of Georgia right now. And depending upon that time, I can walk you through each one. But we're having some success. In our Fulton County counterfeit ballot case, we had senior poll managers, quite a few of them, who submitted sworn affidavits that they saw counterfeit ballots in the Fulton County audit that was conducted in November 2020, and that those counterfeit ballots could total into or scale into the tens of thousands. The margin of victory here in Georgia was only 11,779. So the judge was going along with us. Each time we went to court, we were winning something. We got a protective order on the ballots. We got
and just so our viewers know, Fulton County is the greater Atlanta area, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It is also the largest county in Georgia. It really accounts for about 10% of all the votes cast in Georgia. It encompasses both north and south metro Atlanta. Huge county, we had won quite a few different rulings. We had gotten the ballot images, which are the electronic images of the ballots. We had gotten quite a few things done. We had beat back a dismissal motion, and we had were on the verge of getting the inspection. The judge had already unsealed the ballots. And we were about to do the inspection of the ballots, which would have detected the counterfeits. And suddenly Fulton County went out and hired criminal defense attorneys to prevent us from looking at the ballots to see whether or not they were counterfeit. Now, what is that?
Wait a minute. Why do they need criminal? Hold on. Why do they need criminal defense attorneys?
Because they were a bunch of criminals.
You'll have to ask the Fulton County Commission about that because they hired them. It was unbelievable.
Wait, I got another question on that.
Okay, I
have heard Mr. Biden and CNN and MSNBC and CBS and ABC and on and on and on. They have all used the same talking points, telling America this was the most safe and secure election in American history. So why would they try to sue to stop an audit in Fulton County? Why would they sue the Democrats, sue to stop the audit in Maricopa County in Arizona? Why would they care if we look at the most secure election in American history? Because that is the big lie.
That exactly right. They know that the election was stolen. We've been producing a ton of evidence in Georgia. And then just recently on our voter GA homepage, Sheriff, you'll love this one. We have a new article that says, who says that there was no 2020 election fraud? It goes through all five of the battleground states, and it exposes the bribery scheme that with Zuckerbucks and how it was used in each of the states and how the electoral votes were changed in each of those five states as a result of this election bribery scheme, which is a felony. And that will basically how it overturned the election in 2020.
And Garland, is this about Donald Trump for you?
No, Sheriff, I actually did not even vote for Donald Trump in the general election. We're in the Constitution Party of Georgia, and we ran our own presidential candidate. But what it's really about is truth and honest elections, because as you know, and the reason you're fighting so hard is, if we don't have honest elections, we don't have a country. And we have to have a country. So I'm going to fight as hard as I can for truth. And in this case, it's obvious that Donald Trump was on the side of truth. So, but it's about honest elections for the future. And I know that's why you and Sam are fighting so hard, and that's my motivation as well. We are a nonpartisan organization and have been for 15 years. And in fact, many of our original supporters were all Democrats who felt that they had gotten cheated in the 2002 election.
2016.
Yeah, 2016 too, but all the way back to 2002 in Georgia.
Of course.
How do the Democrats deal with this, Garland, when they claim, hey, it's just this whacked out, you know, idea of Donald, or this crazy idea of conservatives or whatever. This is a QAnon idea or whatever they want to marginalize us to be. When the Democrats literally complained about this for literally 14 plus years before the conservatives brought the issue up. Really, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. So since 2002, I really believe that they were cheated in 2002 here in Georgia. That's a long story. I'm glad to tell that sometime. But all the way up, and Sheriff Mack, you mentioned 2016. So we were still working primarily with mostly Democrats who were absolutely right when they said that the machines could not be trusted. Suddenly, a lot of them here in Georgia have been quiet. They don't attack us because they know we're nonpartisan and we tried to help them as well. But a lot of them are very quiet now when they realize that, well, the cheating might have impacted Donald Trump and not the Democrats. So they have kind of they're what I call fair weather friends of election integrity.
Exactly. All right. How did the courts find Dominion voting systems to violate state law? And the reason that I'm asking this is because what's happened to the other courts is they've dismissed Sidney Powell's suit, Michael Lindell's suit, Donald Trump's suit, Giuliani's suits, all relating to these election systems by Dominion. How do they find them against the law? Because it's interesting, all these other court cases get dismissed, but yet this one found pay dirt, right?
Well, it did, and the Dominion's democracy suite system that we use here in Georgia and the one that is in Maricopa County and Antrim County, Michigan, it uses a QR code that accumulates the votes. So in other words, your votes are accumulated by reading this QR code that's on your what we call ballot. So that is not something that you as a voter can read. It's not possible. So the courts ruled here in Georgia, U.S. District Court said that Georgia law requires an elector verifiable ballot. You can't verify your ballot if your votes are in a QR code. And it requires here in Georgia that the electors' choices must be human readable and human readable text. Well, obviously in the QR code is not human readable. You can't even read it here in Georgia if you had a QR code reader because it's in all encoded. So as a result of that, the United States District Court found that and she cited the law and she said that the Georgia voting system does none of these things in regards to the law. And she also found earlier that the Secretary of State's office was, quote, not credible, unquote.
Huh. Boy, that's an understatement.
Let me explain this so people understand. Forbes magazine wrote an article, and I think the headline highlights the problem perfectly. Here's what it says. I don't scan QR codes, and neither should you, says Forbes. And the whole article is about literally committing fraud and hacking QR codes, Garland. I'm an IT guy for a living as well. This is well known in this world. The problem is the mainstream press doesn't know how to connect the dots. They're too IT ignorant to even tell the tale, sir.
Well, right. And Sam,
we've got a hard break coming up in about 20 seconds. So keep going. Keep going.
So the last point for the 20 seconds, it's encoded so that you cannot read it, but it is not encrypted so that the hackers can actually hack it. So that's the worst of both worlds.
Other than that, it's not so bad, ladies and gentlemen. Garland, thank you, sir. We'll have you back more longer form on the radio. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, voter, voterga.org for more details. 4 weeks till elections. Are we going to make sure it's secure and transparent? Are we going to throw criminals in jail? We better get it done now. Thanks, Garland. CSPOA continues.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings here from The Right Side. Hey, if you want to have your own daily dose of intellectual maturity, join me every Tuesday night on Brighty on TV. For the Republic, believe it. Cheers.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightEonStore.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet a suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Hey friends, Gene Ho here. You probably hear me on Brighteon Radio on Fridays at 4:30, but here's the interesting thing. I am the new editor-in-chief of George. So if you go to georgeonline.com, all we want is put in your email. As soon as we get all these issues out, we'll give you a notice in your email. So go to georgeonline.com.
Join us on Brighteon Radio, the Jim Price Show, their evenings. Make sure and join me for the daily update as I talk to you about the day's events and things we can do to make the world a better place and make sure that the world is what we want to be in the future. So join us on Brighteon Radio, the Jim Price Show. Thank you so much.
Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200-plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
The older we get, the less IGF is produced by our body naturally. IGF is a substance that's naturally found in your body. Just like these guys that go to the gym, work out, play professional sports, use creatine, which is naturally found in the body. They supplement protein, which is naturally found in the body. Other multivitamins that you take every day, just like that, you supplement the IGF in your body. You can do that at keystolife.shop. This is the stuff that makes men men again. All right, you spray it in your mouth a couple times a day, boom. Lean muscle gain, healthy weight loss, more restful sleep, positive energy gain, crystal clear thinking, all of these things. These are benefits from the proper levels of IGF in your system, which naturally you lose over time. Go do the research on your own. Keys, the number 2, life.shop. Again, keystolife.shop. Great deals over there, by the way, when you put the product on auto ship, and you should. It's not a lifetime contract. You can cancel at any time, but you should try this stuff for about 3 months to really see the positive gain. I'm speaking from personal experience. Go to keys, the number 2, life.shop. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peter sent you when you go to keystolife.shop.
Welcome back to the Sheriff Mac Show, ladies and gentlemen. We never have near enough time for our incredible guest. Last half hour, we had on Garland Favorito. He's probably my favorite guest today so far. VoterGA.org is his website, ladies and gentlemen. All right? VoterGA.org. Go to that website because you'll get a treasure trove of information. But you ask, what is wrong with Dominion voting systems? Well, Georgia's Dominion voting system has been found by the U.S. District Court to violate state law. And it really relates to QR codes, which can be hacked easily, and you can't guarantee a vote to be legitimately tied to any custody of ballots with a QR code. So Forbes magazine has an article that says, I don't scan QR codes, and neither should you. And Forbes basically documents how hackable QR codes are. But now our guest, along similar lines, is Terry Dickinson. And Terry is a wonderful lady who has been standing for the sacred cause of liberty like nobody's business. If we just had a million Terrys, just imagine what the country could be like. But anyway, she basically is going to tell us her story. Simply put, she was kicked out of her recent county commissioner's court meeting. They didn't like her comments. She was then, and get this, banned from future meetings. Well, that was before a good sheriff's deputy stepped in. Terry, welcome to the Sheriff Mac Show.
Thank you for having us.
Give us a 30-second on who you are first, Terry.
Well, I'm Terry Dickinson. I live in Big Lake, Minnesota. And my friends, Tracy Sodone and Kari Watkins, we go to the Sherburne County Commissioner meetings on a regular basis, all the time we go. And we've been presenting information to the county commissioners. So we wanted to prevent the use of the Dominion machines in the future. And also, we've been working with Rick Weibel. And last year, I think it was October, we turned into Sherburne County Sheriff Joel Brott the list of dead voters, duplicate voters, P.O. Box voters, and UPS door voters. So we've been working on the election integrity issue for about a year and a half also. We've hosted numerous presentations to educate the community, our elected officials, about, you know, Dominion and the problems that we see. So on August 2nd, I went to the county, we all went to the county commissioner meeting, and I was reading my statement. It was on the First Amendment, and I was also quoting my sheriff, how he was going to defend our liberty, and I made the, I committed the crime of saying my county commissioner's name out loud. And for that, they ordered the deputy to remove me from the meeting. And then a different deputy in out in the hallway, I had him read my statement. He read my statement, went and talked to the county administrator, thank you. And they allowed me to come. He escorted me back into the room to finish my statement, which I attempted to do but was unable to.
Well, what do you know? There's a sheriff deputy doing his job, even against other government. Carrie, this is Sheriff Mack, and thanks so much for being on with us today. And so why do you have a couple of guests with you or behind your phone call? Were they there with you that day and you kind of work in a trio?
Yes, sir. So when I was physically removed from the from the room, the deputy said, you're banned, and shut the door. And I was sitting there like, you can't ban me. I have...
So one deputy removed you, and then a different deputy brought you back?
Yes, sir. Chief Deputy Steve Duran brought me back into the meeting. So he interposed on my behalf for my First Amendment.
Now, do you know that you're quoting a word that we actually, CSPOA does constitutional training, and we use that word all the time, the doctrine of interposition or interpose. We even give an Interposer of the Year award every now and again when we have a deputy or a sheriff who actually interposes on behalf of the people. So do you want to tell everybody what interpose means?
Well, it's been a long time since I've read your book, and we've been really busy with this, but I believe it's just that he saw the necessity to stand up for my liberty when someone else had unjustly refused my First Amendment right.
Yeah, that's it. And to put it succinctly, what you just said, he puts himself in the way for you.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what he did. And we are greatly appreciative, because had he not done that, we truly believe things would have been much different. I think they would have picked us off one by one and banned us all from participating. But instead, right. After that, I received 4 apologies from the county administrator alone.
Well, what is this? Is there some sort of law that you can't mention a county commissioner's name? His name is probably sitting right there in front of him as being a member of the commission, is it not?
That's
are they
true.
Trying to
they,
hide?
They are. Well, they don't want to be called out for stuff they do. But even in the deputy who removed me, who, by the way, is a very nice man, I believe he just made a really bad decision that day. His incident report does say that
it
does say that I do. It says he did not make any. I do, sir.
Okay,
I did not make any direct threats or derogatory comments. She simply mentioned dates, conversations, and called out specific commissioners by name for not meeting with their group to discuss their concerns.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, that's a critical point here, though, to name people who these people got elected by constituents, and the constituents are not allowed to name those who they elected that they would like to discuss issues of importance relating to their county government. They're not allowed to call them by name of who wouldn't meet with them. Folks, this is a very serious issue. Now, the deputy that it removed her may have been under false realities, but in my opinion, the commissioner should have stood up on the spot and said, wait a minute, hold on. This lady should not be removed. We don't mind discussing with our constituents. But the deputy acted upon the direction of somebody else, right, Terry?
That is correct. It was the county commissioners, Lisa Fobey first, and then Barbara Barant, who is the chairperson, and then our county administrator, who they all seem to take great joy in behaving like tyrants.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the quintessential point. You must remove these thugs from office, Sheriff.
Yeah, well, Sam, these are the same people that will tell you that they want transparency in government. Yet you can't even say a public official's name whose name tag is sitting right there on the desk that he sits behind while he's having this meeting and this county commission meeting.
Yeah. And these are the same people that will knock on your door and beg for your right, Terry?
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
These are the same people that will knock on your door and beg for your vote, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this, tell me the name of was it Chief Deputy Steve? What's his last name?
Doran, D-O-R-A-N, Doran.
And we were going to have him on. We were going to have him on today with you, but he wasn't able to make it. So we'll hopefully get him another day. He didn't think.
But let me say this though:
deal.
Steve Doran is a hero. He doesn't think it's a big deal because he is a constitutional patriot that understands his job. So to him, it's just like, well, that's what I would do every day. But ladies and gentlemen, sadly, in America, he has become a hero. I say sadly because others don't see it as Steve does, Sheriff.
Well, it's the whole thing. We don't. This is not Legion. This is not happening enough. And this has got to go nationwide that the deputy who mistakenly removed you should have been the first one to interpose. And he should have said, no, I will not do that. I'm not going to violate her rights. And I don't care if you think your name shouldn't be mentioned in this room.
Well, and there you have it. And there's the quintessential breakdown between we the people and our elected officials, ladies and gentlemen. When we are thinking about putting them in office, they want to be our friends and beg for our votes. And it's very congenial. But oftentimes, once they get elected, they think they're above the people in some way. This is where power corrupts. Absolutely. So, Terry, let's dig into the comments that, you know, someone's kind of thinking, well, maybe she assaulted them. Maybe she, you know, yelled F-I-R-E in a crowded theater. Maybe she, you know, threatened violence or these kind of things. Not the case. Let's go over your comments because all you're doing is discussing, what, election integrity issues?
Yes, sir. We've been bringing this to the attention of the auditor, the county attorney, the sheriff, and the county commissioners. The county commissioners since January.
And give us the county name again and the state.
Sherburne County, Minnesota.
And how big of a county is it?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Sorry.
Well, is it a rural county or is it a big suburban county?
It's a rural county.
Okay, good.
It's on the edge.
So how are you being received by the sheriff?
Oh, he's fine. He's still fine. See, I used to sit down with the sheriff and we used to have tea and talk about voter, you know, election fraud and things like that. So I've known the sheriff for a while. In fact, Chris Ann Hall was here years ago. And what I did is I bought tickets for my sheriff, my police chief, my county, commissioner, my mayor, and I bought a bunch of tickets and then I delivered them all. And sheriff was one of them. He actually called me back and he said, I'd love to go, but I'm busy. He didn't block his cell phone number, so that's when I get his cell phone number. So whenever I had an issue after that, I'd just text him. So this time when we had Chris Ann Hall in last Monday, I contacted Sheriff Brott and Wright County Sheriff Sean Derringer, Sheriff Derringer, who is awesome. He took control of that. Sheriff Derringer of Wright County took control of the Chris Ann Hall event because we wanted to have the sheriff have a special private session with Chris Ann Hall, and he made it his own, and there were less than a dozen, but close to a dozen sheriffs there. So he really reached out. A lot of our sheriffs are really interested, and I think he would make an awesome interview also on your show.
All right, we'll try to get it done, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, this county has about 100,000 people in it. Just so you know,
mm-hmm. And it's on the northern edge of Minneapolis.
All right. So there you have that, ladies and gentlemen. So, Terry, what is the future then in this case then? Are you going to sue these people? Are you going to push to have them removed from office? What are the next steps here? Because I appreciate that the sheriff deputy, an absolute hero, Steve Duran, literally brought you back in, and I commend him for that. But you know what? I don't think these county commissioners have learned their lessons. Yes, they might apologize because they know they're on the bad end of the stick on this one. But look, they still feel the same way in their hearts is the problem. And given the chance, they will throw you or anybody under the bus who gets in their way in a second. What's the next step here? Because accountability must be front and center. Terry?
Well, we have a competition for all of them this election, and especially the auditor who's just running roughshod over everything. And the county commissioner just blindly do whatever she tells them to do.
So yes.
I don't know who's really running the show there, if it's the county administrator or the county auditor, but they seem oblivious to everything, reality. And they get up and they make their campaign speeches. Like, we had a candidate forum last night, and they're just telling untruths. You know, they're just because they say it, it's true when they've actually behaved opposite. So we do have people who are running against them. I have been approached regarding following up on being removed. I don't want to reflect my county sheriff's department in bad light, because they made amends for the mistake, right? There was a bad decision made, but chief deputy...
And we agree that's okay. Well, they're human. They're human, and we give them grace. I get it, and I completely agree.
Absolutely.
But not the commissioners, though.
Absolutely. Right. Yep, and
well, I say not the commissioners. Let's be clear. Not the commissioners that pushed for this. There might be other commissioners that were fine that didn't push for this, although I wish they would have stood up and interposed as well. But I want to really take accountability for the ones that pushed. Okay, they're all bad.
They're all bad.
And Carrie, why did you run?
I tried to give...
So, Carrie, why didn't you run?
Oh, actually, I a friend of mine was running, and he would have been a fantastic candidate. And he had to leave town at the last minute for a funeral. His uncle died. And so he faxed in his asset for candidacy, and I stood at the county auditor's desk with the cash to pay his filing fee, and she refused to accept it because he wasn't there in person. So I had the Secretary of State on the phone. I had the auditor standing there. I had her elections person. They wouldn't accept the cash from me so my friend could file.
And is there some sort of law about that? If you're incapacitated and can't do it yourself, that your campaign manager or an assistant or your relative does it for you? Was there a law about that?
Not that I could see, but they kind of... they could.
It sounds like he has a lawsuit on his hands.
You know, maybe, but they kind of play fast and loose with some of the state statutes. Like, our state statute says that the deputy auditor can be on the ballot board, but it does not say that the auditor can be on the ballot board. But our auditor has been on the ballot board 2016, 2018, 2020, and 2021. She was also on the board while she was a candidate on the ballot. So they pick and choose, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. There you have a violation of the law. It's called conflict of interest. So, oh, my goodness. These people get into office and they start thinking they own it and that they do not work for the people, but they work for themselves. This is the epitome of public corruption. Political corruption. And I have said before, Sam loves my quote on this, so I'll give it again. Yes, we have had a pandemic, but it was not a pandemic of COVID-19. It was a pandemic of corruption, and the epicenter is Washington, D.C. But it sounds like you're really close to an epicenter yourself.
We're having a lot of conflict. In fact, my friend Kari Watkins, she ran for county commissioner, and I was 100% behind her. I'm the one who, you know, asked her to run. And then she lost in the primary. So the 2 out of 5 went on to the general election. So she went and applied to be a Haven Don't Ship board supervisor. So then we have this string of emails from Diane Arnold, our county auditor, reaching out to the state and to other county officials trying to get Kari removed from the ballot. And we have the Secretary of State trying to clarify to her that if, as long as he's not applying for two offices, two separate offices on the general election ballot, she's fine to be on there. And then we have the Haven Township attorney stating that, you know, she can be on the ballot, his email too, but Diane Arnold kept persisting to get her removed from the ballot. And then all of a sudden, Kari, tell him what happened. This is Kari Watkins, who's removed from the ballot at the last minute.
They were going to order the ballots on August 29th. They started this conversation on August 26th after I sent them an email saying that I do not consent to having federal authorities overseeing our elections, like CISA, EAC, also third party like ERIC. And once I sent that email, she forwarded on to the Secretary of State, who I also sent it to. But at that point, it appeared that they were trying to find a way to get me off the ballot, get rid of me. That was Friday.
So were you removed?
Yes, I was. On the 29th at 3:30 in the afternoon, I got a call from the Haven Township attorney saying he had to recommend that Diane Arnold remove me from the ballot. So at 3:30 in the afternoon on that Monday, they removed me from the ballot, and then they ordered the ballots that day to be printed.
Boy, Sam, it just keeps more fraud, more criminal activity.
Election fraud is a gift that keeps on giving, Sheriff, no doubt about it. So, Terry, yeah. We hope to help you in all your endeavors. We realize this battle is critical. They say there's no election fraud. And my question is, when you literally kick someone off the ballot and throw someone out of a county commission discussion meeting because they don't like their name being mentioned, and then they wonder when we say there's election integrity problems, there's votes outside the law, and now we literally find out, which we'll discuss in more detail next hour on the radio, Colorado literally put like 30,000 illegals into the driver's license database. ERIC got that information and put them on the voter rolls. And then they say there's no evidence of election integrity problems. Are these people on crack? At this point, folks, we have so much evidence, Terry. Our prayers are with you and your success. Terry?
Thank you. Can I recommend that people check out Chad Westberg for county auditor?
Yeah,
absolutely. Chad is a good guy. And then we have, who else do we have? Well, anyway, there's competition for all of the current county commissioners, and they should all be replaced. And so if there's any attorneys that want to help us, you can go ahead and give them our phone numbers.
Well, you can give out any information right now. If you have a website or anything else, give it out now. Whatever you want to give out, give it out.
And then I have one more question. Terry?
Yes.
Give out your information,
okay,
then I have one more question.
A friend of ours does have a website. It looks like that I voted sticker, but it says ithoughtivoted.com. So I thought I voted.com.
Love it.
Good work, people. And that's where you can get more information. ithoughtivoted.com. You might not have if you voted for the wrong candidate, ladies and gentlemen. And you might have voted twice if you voted for the candidate they want you to vote for. That is the problem. No time left for my question. But ladies and gentlemen, ithoughtivoted.com is where you can get more information on Terry and her crew and their incredible work in the great state of Minnesota. I'm Sam Bushman for Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. God bless.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, incredible interviews. Not near long enough on TV, I might add, but of course the good Sheriff Richard Mack is with me now still. And we just interviewed this lady, all right, Terry Dickinson, and she sent us to a website called ithoughtivoted.com. And I'm on this website right now, Sheriff, and I'm telling you, the site's killer. I Thought I Voted literally highlights, they say they have the best detailed evidence of election fraud in the nation's history. They say we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. And then they go on and they basically say that Joe Biden brags about having put together the most extensive, all-inclusive voter fraud organization in history. Now, I know that Joe might want you to believe, oh, that's because we're stopping election fraud. But we're seeing flat out just the opposite is the point. And Terry and crew are taking no prisoners. They're getting this done like nobody's business out of the great state of Minnesota, Sheriff.
Yeah, no kidding, Sam. That really got me going. I wanted to talk to them a lot longer. I wanted to talk to Garland Favorito a lot longer also. This was really an amazing show we just had, and never ceases to amaze me how many fantastic people we get on our Sheriff Mack show and that you get on Liberty Roundtable. I guess it was both today, as it always is. But this is a pretty exciting story when it exemplifies the political corruption that goes from Washington, D.C., down into the counties, like a county commissioner thinking or expecting people to be thrown out if they mention the political name of this idiot. To think that you don't have to have your name mentioned, that you can have a law or a policy of removing citizens if they say your name? Oh, good grief, Sam. These people are so arrogant. They become stupid with their arrogance and their ridiculous political stands and political ignorance. Not only that, it's politically ignorant to think you can run for political office and then throw one of your constituents out if they say your name.
And I don't understand. You know what I don't understand, Sheriff? How they thought that would go nowhere. In other words, how Americans would just tolerate that and it wouldn't go viral. Good luck with that, because we're taking on the mainstream press like never before, ladies and gentlemen. We're absolutely throwing down for the sacred cause of liberty. Terry and crew need to be rock stars. They need to get attorneys. They need to sue the socks off these thugs and make sure they never get elected again. And hour one's in the can. Sheriff Mack will be with me second hour on your radio as well. I am Sam Bushman, CSPOA.org, lovingliberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.